book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. And we're going to start reading about verse 14. Joshua 24 and 14. It says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God." Now, Joshua's come to a place here, and they're getting ready to move on over and toward their promised land and getting into that place to where Joshua just finally comes to him. He says, "Now listen, you're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to have to decide who you're going to serve." And so here he says, "You know, as for me and my house, now we're going to serve the Lord, but you can choose whom you're going to serve." Can I tell you that there comes a time in everybody's life where you've got to make the choice who you're going to serve. You have to make that choice. Joshua had already made up his mind. He told the people, and the people made a decision that day. And so you need to make a decision. You need to decide. I'm going to tell you something, church. You may think you got a lot of time, and I hope we do. But here's the thing. When death comes, it's over. It doesn't matter. Time goes on for an eternity. Still, your time is over. And where you're at with God will determine where you spend your eternity, whether He's your Savior, whether He's your God, or whether He's not. Now, I like what Matthew says in Matthew 6:24. He says this. He says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. What's he saying here? Well, what he's saying is this. You cannot serve two gods. There's no way. You can't be in the world and serve God at the same time. You have to decide if you're going to serve God or you're going to serve the devil. Now, here's the thing about this. Nobody in their right mind, I think, wants to serve the devil. Okay? Now, you're looking at me kind of funny, but, you know, even devil worshipers, I said nobody in their right mind. Right? They're not in their right mind. I can tell you that they've been deceived by the devil. Nobody in their right mind wants to serve the devil. But here's the thing. Unfortunately, as a result of man's fallen state, we were born with a sin nature. And what that means is we automatically sin. Nobody has to teach us how. We just, you know, we learn how to lie. We just naturally gravitate to that because of that sin nature that's in us. Now, here's the thing about this. You can't help, just like you and when you were born, you couldn't help where you were born. What state, what family, that didn't have anything to do with you. Okay? It's the same thing as far as the spiritual side of this thing. You were born with that sin nature, not because of you, but because of what Adam did in the garden when he disobeyed God. You see, the earth became cursed, and so everything that's born on the earth after that has that curse on it. And so you can't help that. But the good news is that you can now choose about your new birth. You couldn't help it when you were born in the natural. But now you can help it because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. Through His death, burial, and resurrection, He's made a way now for you to be able to be born again. To be born again. What's that mean? Well, that means that you can now ask God to forgive you of your sin, and you can get rid of that sin nature. Did you know that? Come on, you see, you were never meant to carry that. It was never God's will for mankind to have a sin nature. He made mankind to rule and reign on the earth as a God-like creature. Made in His likeness and made in His image. You see, God created us like Him. Isn't that amazing? You know, and what's so wonderful about that is the fact that He says, you know, not only did He make us like Him, He anointed us to be like Him and gave us His mind. You have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. And so God gives you an opportunity to change your mind about how you're going to live. You see, God's already done all He's going to do about your sin. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, He became sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God. So God's already done His part. Now, it's up to us. Jesus has already paid the price. We have to decide who we're going to serve. Are we going to serve God or are we going to serve the devil? You have to make up your mind. You have to decide. See, a lot of folks try to think, well, I'm going to just go on, you know, and see how things go. And then somewhere down the road, you know, I want to go to heaven. I'll make up my mind. No, today, the Bible says, is the day. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. So you need to decide today to serve Him. You say, well, now, you know, Pastor, how can I decide to serve Him? What do I need to do? Well, let me help you this morning. I'm going to make it so simple that you can't turn it down, okay? Why? Because God made it that simple. It's so funny, you know, we came up through a whole lot of things and I've heard all my life different things, and growing up you would hear stories of people telling about what all they had to do to get saved and the walk they did or the travel they did or the thing that they did and the what, you know, and all of that was their experience, but it wasn't necessarily what the Word said. Thank God they got saved through all that junk. But they were going through a bunch of stuff they didn't have to go through. Okay? It's real simple when it comes to the things of God. It's real simple when it comes to salvation. Jump over with me to Romans chapter 10. Let me just show you here. Romans chapter 10. And in verse 8 here he says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." And here you go. Here it is. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Notice that. I mean, that's what it says you got to do to get saved. No big lightning bolts. God's not going to hit you over the head. You're not going to have this thing happen and that thing happen. I was talking with Brother Charles this week, and we were just talking about how easy it is to be saved, and he talked about he grew up under the same way and hearing the same things I hear. And he said, you know, I was doing everything in the world trying to get saved. And he talked about, he said, one time I went to the altar, and I thought maybe if I put my hand on the cross up there on the pulpit, maybe something will happen then. Because he kept waiting for something to happen. But when he just decided he was going to serve the Lord, he jumped in the water with Sister Bonnie, I guess, and got baptized. Praise God. Amen. He got saved. Amen. So here it says it real easy. It says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now listen to this. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross, was placed in the tomb, and on the third day rose again, that's what he's talking about. Do you believe that? You say, well, yeah, I believe that. Well, notice that. It says, with your heart, you believe unto righteousness. And look at that, though. Then with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What's he saying? Well, you see, he's saying you can believe and believe and believe, but sooner or later, you're going to have to confess the Lord. I don't believe there's a person in here today that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on a cross, was placed in a tomb, and rose on the third day. There's not one person that you wouldn't be here today if you didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And if you're here and you're not saved, see, all you lack is that mouth confession of saying, "Jesus, I confess You as my Lord." Because you're already believing. Now you say, well, it's got to be harder than that. Why? Why would God let His Son go to the cross and go through all He went through and make it hard for you then to receive Him as your Savior? We make it hard. We're our own worst enemy when it comes to serving God and doing the things of God. Here He says, all you got to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you'll be saved. Confess Him as your Lord. If you're not saved, can I just, don't get mad at me, but if you're not saved, it's not God's fault. He's already done what He said He would do for you. And that's He made His Son a sacrifice for sin so that you could be saved, so that you could go to heaven. Jump over here. Let me show you something over here. In chapter 8 of Acts, let's read over here. I want to show you something here. Chapter 8 of Acts and verse 26. And we're going to read a little bit here about Philip. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, and to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Now, I want you to see that. You see, when we look at the eunuch did two things. What were those two things? He believed, and then he acted on what he believed. Notice that. Once Philip preached Christ to him, once Philip told him that Jesus Christ had died for his sins on a cross, so that he could be saved, the eunuch said, Hey, here's some water. What's keeping me from getting baptized? Philip looks at him and says, You can if you believe with all your heart. He said, I believe he's the Son of God. And Philip, they just locked up the cart right there. Let's come on. Let's go down. We'll baptize you. Thank God for that. You see, we have to believe, but then we have to act on what we believe. It's not enough just to believe. You've got to carry it on out. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says this, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, notice here that it says, you know, salvation's not of works. And again, that's been a thing that came up, and it's a man-made doctrine, you know, that you have to be able to work your way in and do something like that. Notice he says here, by grace are you saved through faith. Well, through faith simply means, once again, believing. Notice that. And then he goes and he says, it's not of works lest any man boast, because you can't work your way into salvation. But notice then it goes on, says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained. Notice that once you get saved, once you give your life to the Lord, then that's when you begin to work in the kingdom of God. So we have faith through faith, which is believing, and then we act on what we believe by going ahead and confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and then following Him and doing what the Word of God says. And so God's made it so simple. The good works are just acting on what you believe. Now, I started thinking about this. I don't know why this came to me, why I was studying this thing out, but all of a sudden it just popped onto me. The other day, I bought an apple stack cake. Okay? Anybody like apple stack cakes? See, some of us older folk do. Some of you younger folk probably go, ew. You know. But we kind of raised on that. Now, when I was growing up, we called that a fruit cake. Not that thing that you buy at the store. It's got all kinds of junk in it that you can't eat. You know. But the apple stack cake, you know, that's one's got the apple butter or the dried apples in between every layer. And it's 5, 6, 7 layers. Sometimes even more. You know. But I bought one the other day. They were, you know, making some and selling them and whatever. And I thought, man, I believe that would be good. I'm going to buy me one of them. So I bought one, and I'm looking at it, and I said, man, that looks good. See, I believed it was good. But I could have sat there all day and just looked at that and said, man, I believe that's good. I believe that's good. I believe that's good. But you know what I did? I acted on what I believed. I got the knife out and I sliced that baby and I said, man, that is good. The Word of God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You've got to act on what. You can't just sit there and look at it. Come on, you can't just sit there and say, I know the Lord's good. I believe He's good. I believe He saved. He died for my sins. I believe. No, act on it. Taste and see. Make Him Lord of your life. Invite Him into your life. See, that's all He's waiting. He's waiting on you to just open your mouth. Make that confession. You see, that we're our biggest hindrance. You know, that eunuch said, what doth hinder me? Well, he said, if you believe, you can. And he said, I believe. Well, see, what's hindering you? What is it that's holding you back? Why is it that you're not giving your life to Jesus? Why are you not living for the Lord when you know He's the Savior of the world? And you know He died for your sins. And you know you don't want to go to hell. So you see, we're at this place, you know, we're going to have to make some decisions. You know, and you can believe the Word of God concerning anything. But if you don't act on it, you're not going to get it. It doesn't matter what you believe in. And that includes salvation or any other thing. You see, because God's a faith God. And part of faith is not only believing, but it's speaking it out and acting on it. You see, and so that's what God is looking for. So, you know, again, I think when it comes to receiving from God, most of the time we're our biggest hindrance. We cause the problem. So, well, what are we going to do about being a hindrance? Well, number one, we're going to quit dragging our feet. You know, there's no use standing and holding to a pew and trying to hold back. Why would you want to hold back from God? Come on, most of us been there and done that. But I'm trying to help you so that you don't have to just stand there and, well, I want to go, but I... You know, listen, that's the battle the enemy's doing. It is happening in your mind. And all he's trying to do is keep you from giving your life to the Lord because he don't want to lose another one. We sing that song, Hell Lost Another One. I'm free. You need to make sure the devil loses another one. You need to make sure, you need to tell the devil, bye-bye. I'm not going to serve you. You're not going to be my master anymore. I found a new master. And see, here's the thing. When it comes to that, you start thinking about it. You know, you have to decide, am I going to serve God or am I going to serve the devil? You know, here's what we got when you look at this. You've got God who allowed His Son Jesus Christ to die for you, loved you so much that He gave His Son for you. Okay? Hebrews 10:17-20. Let me read this. It says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope, as we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Since I know that it's impossible for God to lie, I know that God only speaks the truth. God speaks the truth. Now, let me take you over to John chapter 8, if you'll go with me there. John chapter 8. Look at verse 44. Jesus talking to some of the religious folks that are around there and those that were going through the motions of serving God. Verse 44, he says, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, the Lord Jesus tells us that the devil is a liar. So now we've got the Word of God telling us that it's impossible for God to lie. He always tells the truth. And we've got Jesus, the Son of God, telling us that the devil's the liar and the father of lies. And so you're looking and you're here and you say, well, you know, if the Bible says we can only serve two masters, then you're either serving one that's always tells the truth or you're telling one that's always telling you lies. Even when the devil tells you a truth, most of the time it's only a half truth. You see, because a lie does not necessarily have to be something that you say. A lie sometimes can be something that you omit to say. Think about that one for a minute. Remember when the devil came to in the garden there? He told Eve a half truth. He says, if God said you're going to die if you eat of this, oh yeah, we're not to eat of that tree. If we touch it, we'll die. And the devil says, why, you're not going to die. But God knows you'll be like him. And he made it sound so good. But you see, all that was not a truth. He didn't necessarily lie, but he also didn't tell the truth. You see, because they didn't physically die, that was a truth. But they spiritually died. They were eternally separated from God until God came and made that blood sacrifice for them there in the garden. You see, the devil will never tell you the whole truth. He'll just tell you enough to get you in trouble. And that's the kind of master he is. He doesn't care for you. He wants to damn your soul to hell. That's his agenda. He hates you because you're a creation of God. And God loves you because you're a creation of God. God made you. And the Bible says that he so loved the world. That's even those that don't love him. Those that despise him and don't want anything. Even the devil worshipers, God loves. He so loved the world. Right? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would what? Believeth, would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God's plan from the foundation of the world was going to have his mankind worship him, be his children, and serve him out of not being afraid of him, but out of reverence to him, to glorify him. Just saying, God, you're my God, and I thank you. You see, and because of that, God says, you know what? I'm going to provide things for you. I'm going to take care of you. Matter of fact, not only did I let my Son take care of the sin problem on the cross, when he was striped, I let him take care of the sickness problem. I allowed him to become poor so that you could become rich or prosperous and blessed. You see? And Jesus himself, out of his own mouth, said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Before that, he tells you why the devil came, right? To steal, kill, and destroy. That's why he came. That's his agenda. So if he's your master, all he wants to do in your life is to steal, kill, and destroy. But if God is your master, if Jesus is your master, he wants you to have an abundant life. And so here's what I want to say to you today, is that if you've still got breath in your body, you still have a chance to choose this day whom you'll serve. Isn't that good news that you still have as long as you... I'm going to tell you, once the life leaves your body, there ain't no chance. I don't care what some religions say, there ain't no praying you out of hell. There is no purgatory. You can't pay a preacher or a priest to pray you out. No, once you leave this earth, the way you leave this earth is the way you're going to spend eternity. If you leave this earth as a sinner, then you will spend eternity in hell. That's not talked about enough, but people need to hear this. Hell is real. Just as sure as heaven's real, hell's real. And here's the thing, folks. It was not prepared for us. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared for you. God does not desire for you to go there. The Bible teaches us, Peter tells us, he said, the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Well, how can I keep from perishing? I choose life. I choose Jesus. I choose the truth over the lie. I choose God over the devil. I choose light over darkness. I choose life over death. You see, to choose Jesus in this life is to choose life eternal with the Father. Heaven that was prepared for you. Mansion that was prepared for you. I believe it'll be a mansion. Jesus didn't say that. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. I kind of feel like one of those places is one of those mansions. That's, you can believe what you want to, because God always does His best for you. He always gives you the finest. Always, I mean, you know, mine's going to be a lot more fancier than yours is. And you know, mine's probably going to have, I'm sure mine's going to have a big pond around it there, you know, full of fish and, right, you know, I mean. He said He'd grant the desires of your heart, right, if you delight yourself. No, listen, that won't matter, because once we get to heaven, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. The things that we enjoy here don't mean anything compared to the glory it'll be up there. But we have to choose, because understand this, there is that nothing on this earth that's worth going to hell for. Nothing. No pleasure, no thing, nobody. But here's the thing. You have to choose for yourself. You can't choose for somebody else. Well, you know, I'm kind of waiting on so-and-so. And I believe, you know, sometimes my wife will say, I'm waiting on my husband. My husband will say, I'm waiting on my wife. I'm going to tell you something. What if they don't? What if they decide to reject Jesus? What if they decide, I'm not going to serve God? Are you going to let that take you to hell? I love my wife with all my heart, but I would not follow her to hell. Thank God she's born again too. We're both going to heaven. But I'm just trying to tell you that you can't be waiting on this thing to change that thing. Well, when I get this worked out. I'm going to tell you something. You don't know you'll ever get that worked out. But I do know if you have Jesus in your life, He'll be there for you, closer than a friend, closer than a brother, the Bible says, so that He can help you get through whatever it is you need to get through. Whatever you're struggling with, He's there for you. Why? Because He loves you. And He died for you. And His desire is for you to go to heaven, be with Him someday. Think about it for a minute, church. What a place it's going to be. How we should desire, how we should hunger and thirst to make sure that we're going. It's sad that a lot of folks in the church, they kind of take it lightly. But I want to tell you something. It's a serious thing. It's a grand thing to know that you're on your way to heaven. Not a thing to be taken lightly. Jesus didn't take it lightly when He gave His life. And we shouldn't take it lightly, because He did give His life. It cost Him everything so that we could have everything. But today we have to make a choice. Today we have to choose. Who's on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Joshua said. Ask for me in my house. Did you notice that? He said, as for me and my house. My house. Daddies, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes the whole family is going to hinge on you. They're watching to see what Daddy does sometimes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. So today, I want you to stand to your feet with me and not take a long time. I believe this is God just really quickened my spirit about this. There's somebody here, you need Jesus in your life today. And if you've not made Him Lord of your life, I want to invite you to come. We're going to pray in just a minute, but I want to invite you to come up here. And I want you to make that decision today. Today, I choose to serve the Lord and make Him my Lord.